हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण
हरे कृष्ण। बिफोर वी स्टार्ट, 4 days ago, it was the disappearance day of Srila Govinda Ghosh. I just want to ask, was Govinda Ghosh discussed during this week? Did anyone talk about the glories of Govinda Ghosh?
I don't think so, Prabhu. As per my understanding.
No, Prabhu, no. Not discussed.
Yes, no.
Okay, so we'll start the class then. If it's okay with all the devotees, with your blessings, we will talk about Srila Govinda Ghosh and what we can learn from his illustrious life. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायं मुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी। वासुदेव परा योगा वासुदेव परामका वासुदेव परा वेदा वासुदेव परक्रिया वासुदेव परम ज्ञानम वासुदेव परम तप वासुदेव परो धर्मो वासुदेव परम गति। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। नमो पंकजनाभाय नमो पंकजमालिने नमो पंकजनेत्राय नमस्ते पंकजांगये। हरे कृष्णा। वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 1 वर्स नंबर 56 एंड 57। वी विल स्टडी 2 वर्सेस टुडे। सो वी आर डिस्कसिंग द सेक्शन वेयर नरनारायण ऋषि हैव बीन बॉर्न in the house of Dharma, and the Devatagan, all the demigods headed by Lord Brahma, they are all very happy that the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his devotee, they have appeared as Nara and Narayan Rishis. So they are offering prayers. Deva Uchuhu यो मायया विरचितं निजयात्मनीदं खेरूपभेदं इव तत् प्रतिचक्षणाय एतेन धर्मसदने ऋषिमूर्तिनाद्य प्रादुश्चकार पुरुषाय नमः परस्मै। Translation and purports by His Divine Grace Srila Abhay Charanaravind Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: the demigod said, "Let us offer our respectful obeisances unto the transcendental personality of Godhead, who created as his external energy this cosmic manifestation, which is situated in him as the air and clouds are situated in space, and who has now appeared in the form of Nara, Narayan Rishi in the house of Dharma." Purport: the universal form of the Lord is the cosmic manifestation, which is an exhibition of the external energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In space, there are innumerable varieties of planets and also the air. And in the air, there are variously colored clouds, and sometimes we see airplanes running from one place to another. Thus, the entire cosmic manifestation is full of variety. But actually, that variety is a manifestation of the external energy of the Supreme Lord, and that energy is situated in Him. Now, the Lord Himself, after manifesting His energy, appeared within the creation of His energy, which is simultaneously one with and different from Him. And therefore, the demigods offered their respects to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who manifests Himself in such varieties. There are some philosophers called non-dualists who, because of their impersonal conception, think that varieties are false. In this verse, it is specifically stated, Yo Mayaya Virachitam. This indicates that the varieties are a manifestation of the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, because the energy is non-different from the Godhead, the varieties are also factual. The material varieties may be temporary, but they are not false. They are a reflection of the spiritual varieties. Here, the word pratichakshanaya, they are varieties, announces the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who appeared as Nara Narayan Rishi, and who is the origin of all varieties of material nature. Verse number 57. Soyam sthiti gati karo pashamaya srishtan satvenana suragana anumeya tatvah drishyad adabhra karunena vilokanena yachri niketanam amalam shipataravindam. Translation. Let that Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is understood by truly authorized Vedic literature and who has created peace and prosperity, to destroy all calamities of the created world, be kind enough to bestow His glance upon the demigods. His merciful glance can supersede the beauty of the spotless lotus flower, which is the home of the goddess of fortune. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the origin of the cosmic manifestation, is covered by the wonderful activities of material nature. Just as outer space or illumination of the sun and moon is sometimes covered by clouds or dust, it is very difficult to find the origin of the cosmic manifestation. Therefore, material scientists conclude that nature is the ultimate cause of all manifestations. But from Shastra or authentic literature like Bhagavad Gita and other Vedic scriptures, we understand that behind this wonderful cosmic manifestation is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in order to maintain the regular procedures of the cosmic manifestation and to be visible to the eyes of persons who are in the mode of goodness, the Lord appears. I will read this sentence again. It is very important. Srila Prabhupada is explaining why the Lord appears. But from Shastra or authentic literature like Bhagavad Gita and other Vedic scriptures, we understand that behind this wonderful cosmic manifestation is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in order to maintain the regular procedures of the cosmic manifestation and to be visible to the eyes of persons who are in the mode of goodness, the Lord appears. So the two reasons are to maintain the regular procedures and to become visible to the devotees. He is the cause of the creation and dissolution of the cosmic manifestation. The demigods therefore prayed for His merciful glance upon them in order to be blessed. Om Adhyanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपदान् सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च नमां विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामीनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमो महावदन्याय कृष्णप्रेमा प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्य नाम्ने गौरात्विसे नमः हे कृष्णकरुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकांत राधाकांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा आई वुड लाइक टू वंस अगेन ऑफर माय रिस्पेक्टफुल ओबेसेंसेस एट द लोटस फीट ऑफ ऑल द डिवोटीज हु आर लिसनिंग थैंक यू वेरी मच फॉर गिविंग मी योर एसोसिएशन एंड एंगेजिंग मी इन योर सर्विस आई हम्बली रिक्वेस्ट यू टू प्लीज शावर योर ब्लेसिंग्स on me so that I may be able to serve you in such a way that it is pleasing to Hari, Guru and Vaishnavas. Thank you very much. So we are continuing our study of Granth Raj, Srimad Bhagavatam, and we are in the fourth canto. We are discussing the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Narayan, and his own amsha, his own expansion or his own manifestation, Nara. So Nara and Narayan, the Supreme Narayan and his small particle. Small amsha, Nara. They have appeared, and as soon as they appeared, the whole world became very joyful. And all the Devtagan, they came and they are offering these beautiful prayers, which we discussed today. They are offering these prayers to Nara, Nara and Rishi. Actually, before we start studying Srimad Bhagavatam, there are certain invocation verses, certain special verses from Bhagavatam, which we recite traditionally. And these are from the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Narayanam namaskrityam naram chaiva narottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam ato jayam mudirai. So the speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam, Subhya Goswami, Suta Goswami, they are offering their obeisances, they are offering their respects, their pranams to certain great personalities. And who are they? Narayanam namaskrityam. Let me offer my obeisances to Narayan Rishi. Naram chaiva narottamam. And also to Nara, who is the topmost among the human beings, Narottam. Narayanam namaskrutyam naram chaiva narottamam devim saraswatim vyasam. I would also like to offer my obeisances to Saraswati Devi, the goddess of learning and the consort of Brahmaji. Devim saraswatim vyasam tato jayam udiraye. Let there be all glories to Lord Vyasadeva also, the literary incarnation of Godhead, who is the original author of Srimad Bhagavatam, who composed, compiled, wrote this Bhagavatam at the behest, at the inspiration of his spiritual master Narad Muni. So Naranara and Rishi, they lived at Badrikashram and they transmitted spiritual knowledge to the rishis who took shelter of them. So very, very great authorities. And during the Mahabharata, the same Naranara and Rishi, they had appeared as Krishna and Arjun. Arjun is an incarnation of Nara, and Krishna and Narayan, they are non-different. The first verse that we studied two verses today. The first verse that we studied, in that the Devatagan, the demigods, they are praying, headed by Lord Brahma, that this whole universe that is visible to our eyes, all these planets, the sun, the moon, the earth, everything, the mountains, rivers, valleys, forests, trees, all the living entities, animals, birds, insects, human beings, everything that is visible to our eyes, all this is a manifestation of your external energy. And just like the clouds are situated, just like the air is situated in the sky, similarly, everything that is created rests in you, O Lord. Now, can one of you unmute your phone and tell if there is a parallel verse, a verse that has very similar meaning in the Bhagavad Gita? Here, the Devatagan in the Bhagavatam are praying that this whole world, this whole creation is resting in you, O Lord, just like the clouds and air are resting in the sky. Can someone tell which verse it is from Bhagavad Gita?
Hare Krishna, can I tell you?
Yes. Yes, please go ahead.
Bhumi apo nalvayu kamman buddhi eva cha ahankariti yame binna prakriti ashtadha.
May I know your name, Prabhuji?
So this is a servant, Gaur Keshav Das.
Hare Krishna, Gaur Keshav Prabhu. So yes, this, the verse that you mentioned, in that Krishna is saying that earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, false ego are my separated inferior energies. But the prayer in the first verse that we discussed is that this whole creation rests in the Supreme Lord, just like the clouds and the air rests in the sky. Yatha akash sthito nityam vayu sarvatra gomahan tatha sarvani bhutani matsthaniti upadharaya. This verse from Bhagavad Gita is very much similar to what has been described in the first verse that we discussed today. Yatha akash sthito nityam vayu sarvatra gomahan. Just like in the akash, in the sky, vayu, air, is situated, tatha sarvani bhutani matsthaniti. Similarly, all these sarvani bhutani, all these living entities, all that is created, matsthaniti, they are all situated within me. Upadharaya, try to understand this, O Arjun. Krishna is telling Arjun, the same Narayan Rishi is telling Nara Rishi, the same thing. So that is one thing we discussed. And then the other thing that we discussed in these two verses is how this material creation is very difficult to understand what its origin is. What is the origin of this material creation? Very difficult to understand. This material world is created, we can understand from contemporary example, that it is like a hospital and a jail. It is like this material creation is like a jail because we are all trapped here. If I say that I want to go to Vaikuntha, very difficult because I am trapped here in this material world. There are so many things that keep me bound up, so many desires, so many attachments, which are like shackles, which are like high security doors, which keep us bound, which keep us trapped in this material world. And it is like a hospital because Krishna has created this world in such a way that our attempts to enjoy independently will be futile. We will be frustrated. If we just analyze carefully our life, we spend our whole life when we are a small child, you know, we are sent to school when we become 4 or 5 years old. And we start from elementary school, we go to middle school, high school, college, university, we get a job, we work hard in our workplace so that we can climb up our career ladder. We do so many extra activities, so many certification courses, this, that, to enhance our CV. We build so much, you know, we get married, we have children, we buy a house, car, we save for the future, we bring up our families, you know, we go for vacation, we try to have, you know, so much property, this, that, consolidate our funds, earn respect, you know, develop a network of people who can give us pleasure, friends, relatives, etc. We do so many things. And then suddenly, we are asked to leave our body. We live our whole life thinking that we are the body. And suddenly, we are asked to give everything up. Just imagine, that job, that money, that house for which we went through 13 years of school, kindergarten and then first grade to 12th grade, 13 years of school, 4 years of college, maybe 4 years of university after that. So that's 8 plus 13, 21 years of hardcore education, studying, taking exams, you know, so much hard work, doing assignments, homework. And then we get a job, we work hard, we earn money, we sacrifice, we work extra to please the boss. We pay taxes, we do so much. And then we create an empire. Empire of our house, our career, our family, family members, extended family, friends, our friend circle. We have people who we can hang out with. We can invite them for parties. So much we do. Friends with whom we go for vacation. We create all this empire. We create all this world around us. And in a click of a finger, it's gone at the time of death. Finished. We have to leave everything. We cannot say that, oh wait, I have so many $100,000 in my bank. Give me a few days, let me at least enjoy them before I go. We may not get the opportunity to do so. And even if we get, it is only going to entangle us further. I will tell you a story, a real story, which I experienced a few years ago. After I graduated from Emory University and I was looking for a job, after finishing residency, you know, we look for a real job. We become an attending physician and we are looking for a job. So we get in touch with these physician recruiters. And they have their own contacts, networks. They know different medical practices, hospitals, where there are job openings for physicians. So I was working with one particular recruiter from Iowa. Very, very nice lady. And she was helping me. She got in touch with me when I was in my final year of residency itself, because the recruitment process takes time. You have to get license for that particular state, visa, everything, you know. getting credentialed at the hospital you want to work. It takes almost a year. So we start our job search a year in advance. So I got in touch with her in my last year of residency, and then I was in touch with her every few weeks. We would talk on the phone, exchange emails, and we were in touch. So I really got to know her well. She would ask me, so what type of job do you want? Okay, tell me about your family. Oh, you have a wife. Oh, she also wants to get into residency. Okay, so we need to find a job in a place where there is a residency program. Oh, you have two kids. Okay, so we need to find your city where there are good schools. Things like that, you know. She knew everything about my family. She said, oh, you have parents in India, they will be visiting. Oh, so you need to be near an international airport. Things like that. She knew everything about me. And I knew quite a lot about her, because she used to like to chat with me. And she would tell me about her family, her kids, her husband. So we were friends. We had never met, but we were real good friends. And she actually lined up an interview for me where I was going to go. And I was actually going to meet her because she was there. So we had known each other for almost a year. And then one day I was talking to her, and she was, you know, getting details from me. She wanted to book my flight tickets to come there for interview. And she sounded very sad. So I asked her, what happened? You really sound very, you're not yourself today. Something is wrong. Can you tell me what's wrong? She said, Dr. Deshmukh, you know, I've worked with physicians all my life. I have so many friends who are physicians like yourself. I work very closely with them. But you know what? My husband had been complaining of some acidity and indigestion for several months, and we tried so many things, Tums and, you know, Prilosec and so many over-the-counter things. We thought that it's just acid reflux. But he was not feeling better, so we took him to a doctor a few days ago. And, you know, he had a CT scan, and unfortunately, it shows a cancer of the pancreas. And it has already spread to his lymph nodes and liver and lungs. He's in the last stage, Dr. Deshmukh. And they are saying, you know, he's not going to live for more than 3 or 4 months. And yes, he has been losing weight, and we thought, it's good to lose weight. He's watching his diet and he goes for walks. So we thought that's why he's losing weight, and we were happy about it. But now it all makes sense. It was actually a cancer. It was growing inside his body. We didn't know all these months. And now it's too late. So I'm really sad. And I said, oh, I'm also so sorry to hear this. I will pray for your husband. I'll pray for you. You know, my heart went out to her. I felt so sad. And then she was a Christian, and she felt so happy that I told her I'll pray. She knew I was not a Christian. She knew I was, an ISKCON devotee. I told her that I want to be in a place where there are, you know, some ISKCON temple. So she was very happy that I was going to pray. And then a few days later we were talking, and somehow that interview got cancelled, but we were still in touch, and I was talking to her. And she said, you know what we are doing, because she's not very old. She is maybe 50, and her husband must be 52 or 53. So both of them were working in the same healthcare system. She was a physician recruiter, and he was doing something else, but they worked for the same healthcare system. So she said, you know, now that he's going to die soon, we only have 3 months or so, he's always wanted to go to Disney in Orlando. So we are going to go. So what we have done is there is some procedure where, you know, you have 401k, which you only get after you retire, like after you're 65 or 69, something like that. But you can remove the funds from your 401k prematurely on health grounds. And you have to pay a little bit tax, some penalty, but you can withdraw it. So she said, you know, my husband is going to die, and he has all this money in his 401k. What is the use, you know? He's going to die. So he has withdrawn all that money from his 401k so that he can enjoy at least the last few months of his life. So we paid some penalty, we paid some tax, and we got all that, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars, his lifetime saving. We have withdrawn it. We have it now and in our bank, and we're just going to spend it so that he can enjoy the last 2 or 3 months of his life. So they flew from Iowa to Orlando. They booked themselves in a 5-star hotel in Orlando, and they had booked tickets for Disney World, all the different theme parks of Disney World, Universal Studio, you name it, whatever there is to enjoy in Orlando. They booked everything, the best five-star hotels, special passes, you know, everything. They rented the most expensive car because they really wanted to have a good time. They really wanted to enjoy the last vacation of their life. They were married for so many decades. They just wanted to have a good time before he died. They just wanted to enjoy in this material world. So they went to Orlando. They checked into the hotel and he started vomiting. He started vomiting. You know, his condition deteriorated. He could not go to any of the Disney parks. They just landed in Orlando and his health got worse. So they had to admit him to a hospital in Orlando where they had no social support. All their family, all their friends, all their physician colleagues, everyone was in Iowa. And here they were, husband and wife, in an unknown place, Orlando, where they had no social support, nothing, no family. And he was there in the hospital for 2 weeks. And they both went through a very tough time. And I was in touch with them. Of course, I was in Atlanta, couldn't do much. So I was praying for them. But the husband died after 2 weeks. It was supposed to be a fantastic vacation of 3 weeks. They were going to go to beach, Tampa Beach, here and there. They had made all reservations. They had everything planned out. They had money, everything. But this is material world. It kicks us. Maya kicks us. That is how Krishna has designed this whole world. Dukkhalayam ashashvatam. Why has Krishna designed this world like this? You see, if someone goes to jail and the person is kept extremely comfortable in the jail, you have a television, you have your family living with you in the jail, you have your friends living with you in the jail, you get the best of food, you don't have to work, you're just sleeping in your cell on a comfortable, in your jail room, in a comfortable bed and everything, you have attached latrine, bathroom, toilet, you're all comfortable. Who would want to leave such a jail? You know, these prisoners, a lot of times my patients are people, you know, patients incarcerated, they're coming from the jail, they're prisoners. And they have insurance, they all get government insurance once you're a prisoner. So, you know, you have health insurance, you have free food, you have everything. If everything is very comfortable in the jail, nobody would want to get out of the jail. People would want to stay in the jail forever. Therefore, the jail is designed in such a way that the food is very simple. You can only eat a certain number of times. You don't get any entertainment. Your family members cannot come and live with you in the jail. They can visit you once a month or twice a month, but it's all very limited. It's a very difficult life. Very, very difficult life. It's not fun living in a jail. It's painful. You have no independence. You cannot go out to a mall and shop. You cannot go for movies. You cannot hang out with your friends. Nothing. Your food, you have no choice, no control over the food. You cannot choose that, okay, today I want to go to a Thai restaurant. Today I want to go to a Mexican restaurant. Today I want to go to a Chinese, Japanese. I want to eat sushi. I want to eat Italian. No choice. What is served? You eat it or you starve. That's the jail. So life is not comfortable in a jail. The reason it is designed like that is the prisoner is supposed to reflect and think and introspect about the wrongdoings, about what he or she has done, what laws of the state they have broken, they have breached, as a result of which they are suffering in the jail now. It's a time to contemplate, it's a time to reflect and correct our mentality, rectify that law-breaking mentality. And then after one has been reformed, the whole aim is to go back into the society and live like a law-abiding citizen, to live like a productive member of the society. That's why when they are in the jail, they are taught certain skills which they can use to earn their bread, to make a living when they come out into the society. Whether it is stitching or cooking or some skills, carpentry, something they are taught in the jail, and they work so that when they come out, they can find a real job in the real world. So therefore, jails, that department, is also called Department of Corrections. The whole aim is to correct that sinful mentality, that law-breaking mentality, and to transform them into law-abiding citizens. That's how the jail is designed. But it is designed in a way that people want to get out of jail. It's uncomfortable. They want to get out of jail. They want to be reunited with their family members. They want to eat the food that they like. They want to sleep at the time that they want to sleep. They want to wake up at the time they want to wake up. In jail, you don't have choice. When the bell rings, you have to wake up. You know, things like that. And hospital is a place where people realize that they are sick. They get a diagnosis. Like Mr. Rod, my recruiter's husband, when he went to the hospital in Iowa with his indigestion and his weight loss, he underwent certain tests, certain investigations, and they gave him a diagnosis. This is what you have. Now, in his case, it was incurable. But imagine a patient who goes with a pneumonia to the emergency room with cough and fever and feeling weak, and they do an x-ray, they do some blood tests, and they say, sir, you have an infection in your lung, you have a pneumonia. We need to bring you in, we need to admit you, we need to give you IV antibiotics for a few days and get you feeling better. And then he gets admitted, gets a diagnosis, and gets treatment. Similarly, this material world is a hospital. When we read Bhagavad Gita, we get a diagnosis. Oh, my problem is I don't have bhakti. I don't have devotion for Krishna. I want to enjoy independently. I am under the modes of ignorance and passion. We get a diagnosis. What is the problem with us? Dhyayato vishayan pumsam sangate upajayate sangat sanjayate kama kamat krodho vijayate krodhat bhavati sammohan sammohan smriti vibhrama smriti bhramachat buddhi nasho buddhi nashat pranashyati. We get a full diagnosis of what is happening, how we develop attachment, how from attachment we develop anger when those attachments are not fulfilled, and the whole cycle, how we get illusioned and how we fall down. So we get a diagnosis of what is wrong with us. Why are we suffering in this world? The scriptures, they give us a diagnosis, and the scriptures give us the treatment. Man mana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji maam namaskuru. Maam eva shashi satyam te prati jane priyosi me. We get a treatment plan. Okay. Machitta madgata prana bodhayanta parasparam kathayantascha maam nityam tuschanti cha ramanti cha. Chant Krishna's name. Come in the association of devotees. Discuss with each other about Krishna. Think of Krishna. Worship Krishna. Offer obeisances to Krishna. Yat karoshi yad ashnasi yad juhosi dadasi yat tat tapasyasi kaunteya tat kurushva mad arpanam. Whatever you eat, whatever you give away, whatever activities you do, do that as an offering to Krishna. Scriptures are full of medicines, full of medical prescriptions that we can get rid of this disease which we have been diagnosed with. That is the scriptures. So this world is designed like a hospital, like a jail and like a hospital. The whole aim is to accept the diagnosis. Unless and until we accept the diagnosis, we will not accept the treatment. So first we have to realize how fallen we are. First we have to realize what a dangerous situation we are in this material world. That death can kick us out of our office anytime. Death can kick us out of our own house anytime. Death can kick us out of our expensive car at any time without any warning. Mr. Rod got some warning, but still it was not enough. He thought that, okay, whatever day time I have left, let me enjoy. Let me withdraw money from my bank, from my 401k. Let me enjoy. But material world doesn't let us enjoy. It wants to frustrate us so that we turn towards God. That is why it is designed like this, so that we turn towards God. Otherwise, we'll just want to live here forever. Now, if a devotee who has a strong spiritual foundation gets a diagnosis like this, then what will that devotee do? Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj got a diagnosis like this, that you have just few months left. What did Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj choose to do with his limited time? What did Parikshit Maharaj choose to do with his limited time when he got the diagnosis? That is what we have to learn. That is what we have to get inspired from. So this material world is actually a very crazy place. In a jail, there are shackles, there are handcuffs, there are iron doors, locks, security cameras, thick concrete and brick walls. There are people patrolling, watching you. So much security. There are armed guards with pistols and machine guns watching you so you don't escape. The beauty of this material world that Krishna has designed through Durga Devi is that there are no shackles, there are no handcuffs, there are no iron doors, there are no security cameras. There are no armed guards who are preventing us from leaving this jail called the material world. Nothing. There are no doors, no locks, nothing. But still, nobody wants to leave. That is the beauty of this jail. The beauty of this jail is that we are so much covered by avidya that no one wants to leave. Therefore, a devotee is always conscious and aware of how tricky, how dangerous material existence is. It doesn't take much for us to get illusioned and bewildered. It doesn't take much for us to come under the influence of Krishna's maya. Daiviyesha gunamai mama maya durattaya mam evaye prapadyante maya meta tarantite daivihesha gunamai mama maya durataya. Krishna is telling Arjun, Narayan Rishi is telling Nara Rishi, this maya of mine, this material energy of mine is divinely powerful, and to escape it, to get out of it is durataya, very difficult. Now when Krishna says something is very difficult, it really means it's very difficult. Very difficult to get out of this material jail, material world. But he says, he gives the solution. He gives the problem. Oh, the problem is a pneumonia. But Krishna gives a solution also. Take the ceftriaxone antibiotic and you'll be cured. Mam evaye prapadyante maya metam tarantite. What is the antibiotic for our infection? Mam evaye prapadyante. Surrender unto me. If we surrender to Krishna, if we take shelter of Krishna, Sharanagati, then maya metam tarantite. We will be able to escape from this jail in a cured state. We will be cured of our infection, cured of our disease. Then we can get discharged from the hospital. Once a patient has recovered, his fever is gone, his cough is gone, he's walking, he's eating, no need to be in the hospital. You are cured. Go home. And as you go home, look at the other patients and give them hope. Give them encouragement that take your treatment. Have faith in your doctors. Just take that treatment. Very soon, you too will be walking out of this hospital and going back home. That is our duty. Take the medicine. Purify ourselves. Reduce our own fever. Reduce our own infection. And then, on our way out, even while we are in the hospital, when we meet other patients, encourage them. Share with them the good news. I had 104 fever. Now I have only 101. My fever is coming down. The medicine is working. You also take it. Have faith in the treatment. We have to inspire each other. We have to encourage each other. A devotee is always conscious. Padam padam yadvipadam. That there are dangers at every step in this material world. And today we will discuss in brief the glorious story of one such devotee who was always conscious of the dangers of the material world. And his name is Govinda Ghosh. Govinda Ghosh was one of three brothers. His brothers were Madhav Ghosh, Vasudev Ghosh, and Govinda Ghosh was one of them. All three brothers were very, very empowered singers. They were all gopis from Goloka Vrindavan. And their service in Goloka Vrindavan is to sing for Radha and Krishna. These three gopis appeared in Gaur Leela and Chaitanya Leela as Madhav Ghosh, Vasudev Ghosh, and Govinda Ghosh. That famous bhajan that we sing, Jayo Jayo Jagannath Sachiranandana Tribhuvana Koreja Charana Vandana Vasudeva Ghosha Kohe Kori Joda Hatha Jai Gaura Sei Krishna Sei Jagannath. Vasudev Ghosh wrote this. He's Govinda Ghosh's brother, and Govinda Ghosh also wrote some beautiful bhajans. It is said in Chaitanya Bhagavat that whenever these three brothers would lead kirtan, they would sing, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could not resist dancing. He would just dance. And Govinda Ghosh was a very dear friend of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Navadvip. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to do Nagar Sankirtan, and at night when he used to do Sankirtan in Srivas Angan, Govinda Ghosh was always an intimate associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas and went to Purushottam Kshetra, Sri Jagannath Puri Dham, at that time, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, the Bengali devotees, would visit him. So Govinda Ghosh also went. And sometime later, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered Nityananda Prabhu now you go to Bengal and Odisha and you preach, that time Nityananda Prabhu took Vasudev Ghosh with him. He took his intimate associates, one of them was Vasudev Ghosh, to go and preach. But Govinda Ghosh was asked to stay with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Govinda Ghosh was very happy to be with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Very happy. So see, when we take pleasure in the vapu of our spiritual master, rather than the vani, and sometimes the spiritual master may kick us out. So Vasudev Ghosh happily went with Nityananda Prabhu. He left the association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri. Because see, in Jagannath Puri, they had a very ecstatic time. Only devotees lived in Jagannath Puri. No need of preaching. Fantastic association. And during Jagannath Ratha Yatra, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to create 7 Sankirtan parties around the 3 Raths. And he would expand himself into 7 Chaitanya Mahaprabhus. Just like Krishna would expand himself during Ras Leela. And then with each Sankirtan group, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would dance simultaneously. So the 4th group out of 7th, 4th group, the lead singer was Govinda Ghosh. And there was also Vasudev Ghosh in that group. And the lead dancer was Vakreshwar Pandit in Govinda Ghosh's group, Sankirtan group. So Govinda Ghosh, Vasudev Ghosh, they had a fantastic time. Madhav Ghosh, they had an ecstatic time with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Who would want to leave the association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Swarup Damodar and Ramananda Rai and Maharaj Pratap Rudra and Sarobhama Bhattacharya and all the Bengali devotees who had come there, Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita Acharya, Haridas Thakur, Srivas Pandit, Sivananda Sen. Who would want to leave their association and go? But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Nityananda Prabhu that you take your intimate associates and you go. You go and you preach all over India, the Sankirtan Yajna. Preach the names of Krishna. So Nityananda Prabhu left with his associates, but Govinda Ghosh stayed back with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And sometimes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would be invited by his intimate devotees like Sarobhama Bhattacharya, Jagadananda Pandit. Jagadananda Pandit was an incarnation of Satyabhama, Krishna's one of the eight principles, principal queens from Dwarka. And Satyabhama had a very fiery temper. She was very very intense in her love for Krishna. And Krishna used to take pleasure in being controlled by the love of Satyabhama. Krishna used to take pleasure, Dwarkadhish, the Lord of Dwarka, would take pleasure in being a henpecked husband of Satyabhama. That was the Leela. So the same Satyabhama came as Jagadananda Pandit in Gaur Leela. So he would cook, Jagadananda Pandit would cook for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Very, very opulent food. And he would force Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to eat and eat and eat. And if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not eat to the satisfaction of Jagadananda Pandit, then Jagadananda Pandit would not say anything. He would just angrily go to his house and lock the door. And then for 3 days, he would not come out. He would fast, complete fast, no water, no food. He would not even come out for bath. And he would show this transcendental anger. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would go, or he would send one of his servants and say, okay, Baba, come now. Cook for me. I will eat. That's how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would pacify Jagadananda Pandit. So Jagadananda Pandit, he invited Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for prasad. And he served a full offering on a big banana leaf. He would serve. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just to please Jagadananda Pandit, because he had to be very, very sensitive about Jagadananda Pandit, because Jagadananda Pandit would get angry very easily. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would somehow, to please him, finish everything that was on the banana leaf. And then before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew it, Jagadananda Pandit would come and cut. He would serve second helping of equal quantity of rice, sabji, dal and other items, and sweet rice. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would say, I cannot eat so much. And Jagadananda Pandit would make an angry face. And Mahaprabhu, okay, I will eat. And then Mahaprabhu would eat. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would somehow finish that. And again, Jagadananda Pandit would serve third helping. And Mahaprabhu would say, I cannot eat so much. How much do you want me to eat? And again, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would somehow finish it. And then he would, and then Jagadananda Pandit would prepare next day certain items which will help Mahaprabhu recover from his indigestion. Because Mahaprabhu would say that I have got indigestion from eating so much. So Jagadananda Pandit would say, okay, no problem. Tomorrow I will make special preparations which will help digest the food that you ate today. And he would force him to eat excess of those digestive preparations the next day. So anyway, one day Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ate a lot, and then he laid down on his left side, and he told his associate Govinda Ghosh, that Govinda Ghosh, Jagadananda Pandit has forcefully fed me too much Mahaprasad, and I'm getting indigestion. Please go and get Haritaki for me. Haritaki is a small local fruit which helps in digestion. So Govinda Ghosh immediately ran out and he started knocking on different people's doors. Do you have some Haritaki? Do you have some Haritaki? And nobody had Haritaki. So after great effort, going to many doors, after some considerable time, finally in one household, they had some Haritaki. So they gave some Haritaki and Govinda Ghosh came running to his Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and gave him Haritaki. That here, my Lord, please take some Haritaki. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ate some Haritaki and his indigestion was relieved. But next day, again Jagadananda Pandit invited Mahaprabhu and again he did the same thing. Fed him until Mahaprabhu could eat no more. Then Mahaprabhu said, Jagadananda Pandit, I have eaten 4 banana leaf platefuls. Can't eat anymore. Now please, I'll come tomorrow again. But now please stop. And then Jagadananda Pandit was happy that Mahaprabhu had eaten so much, so nicely. And then again Mahaprabhu laid down on his left side and he looked at Govinda Ghosh and said, Govinda Ghosh, Govinda, give me some Haritaki. I have eaten so much that I have got indigestion again. So Govinda Ghosh immediately reached out in a piece of cloth that he had tied around his waist and he gave some Haritaki to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the previous day, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had to wait for a long time for Govinda Ghosh to go and fetch some Haritaki for him. But today, Govinda Ghosh produced the Haritaki immediately. So Mahaprabhu, Govinda Ghosh thought Mahaprabhu is going to be very pleased with him that he was able to give Haritaki immediately as soon as Mahaprabhu asked for it. But actually Mahaprabhu was little concerned. He looked at Govinda Ghosh and he said, Govinda, yesterday when I asked for Haritaki, you had to go out and, you know, it took you some time to get Haritaki, but today you just gave it to me immediately. It was with you. How is that? So Govinda Ghosh said, Mahaprabhu, because yesterday I had so much difficulty getting Haritaki, I saved some extra for the future. That if you need it in the future, you should not have to wait. Therefore, I had saved some in this piece of cloth. I tied it up. So today when you asked it, I was able to give it to you immediately. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Govinda Ghosh, you have a tendency to save. You like to save for a rainy day. You like to save for the future. And a brahmachari like you should not be worrying about saving. A brahmachari like you, a person who is in the renounced order of life, depends on Krishna every single day. Day to day, we depend on Krishna. We don't save. We don't like to have security based on our own efforts. We depend on Krishna. We don't save like grahasthas. It is the duty of householders to save for the future, to save for the rainy day. Not people in the renounced order of life like us. We depend on Krishna every day. If Krishna doesn't provide, we fast. So you have a tendency to save just like a grahastha. Govinda Ghosh, I give you the ajna, I give you the order that you should go back to Gaudadesh, you should go back to Navadvip, and you should become a householder. Sitting with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri, in the presence of all the intimate devotees, when Govinda Ghosh heard these words of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, these words felt like a thunderbolt to the soft heart of Govinda Ghosh. What are you telling me, Mahaprabhu? I have given up everything. I have no attachment for family life. I was saving for you. I saved Haritaki for you. And you are removing me from your association. You are telling me, go back to Mayapur, to Navadvip, and get married and have children and become a householder. Oh, Krishna, how can you order me like that, Mahaprabhu? Govinda Ghosh, he was shattered. See, sometimes the instructions of one's spiritual master or the instructions of one's spiritual mentor or Shiksha Guru can be very heavy, can be very unpalatable. It is something we never wanted to hear. But that is our vision based on our situation and circumstances. We are like a small insect, like a small ant with very, very limited vision. We can only see what is going on in the present. But the vision of Guru and Krishna is from a very high up point of view. Krishna is looking at us from a great height. So Krishna's vision is very broad. Krishna's vision is not like our limited vision. So sitting with Mahaprabhu on that particular day, Govinda Ghosh felt that this was the worst thing that could happen to me. To be told to leave the association of Mahaprabhu and go and get married and become a householder. But now, 500 years later, when we look at it from Krishna's viewpoint, it was the most glorious event in the life of Govinda Ghosh. And we will see why. We are running out of time, but I will be quick. we will see why it was the turning point in the life of Govinda Ghosh. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him, you go to Navadvip and get married and become a householder. Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitete Koriya Aikya. Guru Mukha Padma, from the lotus mouth of one's guru, Vakya, whatever words come out, Chitete Koriya Aikya. One has to ingrain those words in one's chitta, one's consciousness, and act on it. The words of spiritual master should become our guiding light, should become our driving force in life. Govinda Ghosh immediately left for the pleasure of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he came to a place in Navadvip Dham called Agradvip. And there he was having bath in Ganga. And suddenly something hit his back. Something came along the current of Ganga and hit his back. Initially, he thought it was a log of wood. But when he looked closely, he realized that it was a Krishna Shila. It was a black-colored stone, rock. Black-colored rock, not stone, but a rock. And that night, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in the dream of Govinda Ghosh and told him that tomorrow I will send a sculptor to you and he will chisel out a beautiful deity of Krishna from that black rock that appeared to you in Ganga today. And that deity I name as Gopinath. Please serve this Gopinath as your life and soul. This deity of Gopinath is Krishna himself. And this deity of Gopinath is non-different from me. Jai Gaura Sei Krishna Sei Jagannath. He who is Gaura, is Krishna, is Jagannath. Completely non-different. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. And sure enough, Govinda Ghosh ran back to Ganga, found that black rock, and in the morning a sculptor came and chiseled out a beautiful deity of Gopinathji. And this deity of Gopinathji became the life and soul of Govinda Ghosh. And he was serving this deity of Gopinathji with great devotion. Later on, Govinda Ghosh got married. And sometime later, he was blessed with a son. Govinda Ghosh was living like an ideal householder. Very, very Krishna conscious. All three of them were great devotees of Gopinath and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And they were living exemplary Grahastha life. Everyone was spending their days in total Krishna consciousness. And Govinda Ghosh was very attached to his Vaishnavi wife and his Vaishnava son. And we discussed how padam padam yat vipadam, in this material world at every step it is danger. One day, by the quirk of fate, Govinda Ghosh's wife died. She passed away. And Govinda Ghosh was heartbroken. You see, Ramananda Rai says, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him, what is the greatest sorrow? What is the greatest pain in this material world? Ramananda Rai replied, the greatest sorrow, the greatest pain in this world is the separation from your pure devotees. That's why Narottama Das Thakur cried, Jayanilo Premadhana. That Vaishnava Viraha Geet, that song which we sing on the Tirobhav, disappearance days of great Vaishnavas, that is an outpouring of this pain, transcendental pain, ecstatic pain, from the heart of Narottam Das Thakur. So Govinda Ghosh was feeling great separation from his Vaishnavi wife, and he was very sad that she passed away. And then he thought, now the responsibility of bringing up my son lies solely on me. How will I do it alone? But somehow he got his strength from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his Gopinath deity, and somehow he carried on as a single parent was trying his best to make ends meet, to provide for his son, and to bring him up in a Krishna conscious way. And Govinda Ghosh was very attached to his son. Padam padam yad vipada. Danger at every step. By the arrangement of providence, by the arrangement of destiny, Govinda Ghosh's son also died. What can be more painful than this? For a parent to see the death of one's beloved child. Hare Krishna. Govinda Ghosh, who was a perfect disciple of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was a perfect devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was perfectly worshipping Gopinathji without any seva aparad, completely devoted. His wife died and then his son also died right before his eyes. How painful, made no sense. Why bad things happen to good people? Made no sense from that particular vision. It made no sense from where Govinda Ghosh was seeing this. But from where Krishna is seeing it, it was all part of a divine plan. It was a very happy occasion that his son died. Why? Because from Krishna's vision, all these souls are suffering in the material world. And then there is Krishna Lok. Na tad bhasyate suryo na shashanko na pavaka yad gatva na nivartante tad dham paramam mama. Bhagavad Gita Krishna says, Param Dham. Krishna's abode is the supreme abode. People are suffering in this material world. But that beautiful abode, which is self-effulgent, which does not need the sun, the moon, or fire, or electricity. That self-effulgent abode of Krishna is the supreme abode. And one who goes there never comes back in this Dukkhalayam Ashashvatam, in this Anityam Asukham Lokam. Never. From Krishna's vision, the wife and the son have come back to the eternal abode of Goloka Vrindavan. So it's a very joyous occasion. But for the husband, Govinda Ghosh, and for the father, Govinda Ghosh, it was heartbreaking tragedy. Untimely death. And then Govinda Ghosh, out of his natural humility, became worried that who will do my Shraddha? Who will do Pindadan for me after I die? If nobody prays for me after I die, if nobody does Shraddha for me after I die, nobody does Pindadan, I will fall down in the hellish planets. Very important lesson for all of us to learn here. We should not judge Govinda Ghosh that why is he thinking like a karmi? Why is he thinking like a materialistic person? Why is he thinking like a person engaged in karma kand? Actually, the fact is, a pure devotee never thinks that he or she is a pure devotee. A pure devotee never thinks with 100% confidence that I am going back to Goloka Vrindavan. I don't need Shraddha. I don't need anybody to do Pindadan for me. A devotee is so humble that a devotee feels I have no qualification to go to Vaikuntha. And I depend on the prayers and goodwill of other Vaishnavas. Pu is a hell. Tra means to deliver, to liberate from that hell. Putra is that person who delivers the father from hell. How is that? Because during Shraddha, the putra, the son, or even daughter, they offer beautiful bhoga, elaborate bhoga to Krishna. And then they take Krishna prasad and they offer it to the ancestors, to the departed family members. And by the arrangement of Krishna, the departed souls, they come and they partake of this Mahaprasad, Krishna Prasad. And by having Krishna Prasad, they get elevated. In whatever situation they are, whichever planet they are, they get elevated. Yatna sishthashina santo muchante sarvakil vishaye bhunjate te to agham papa yapachanti atma karanat. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains that yajna shishtha ashina. Yajna shishtha means that which is offered in yajna. Ashina means to eat. Yajna shishtha ashina santo, the saintly people who eat prasad, muchante sarvakil bhishaye, they get liberated from all sinful reactions. Bhunjate te tu agham papa, others simply get sins. Yapachanti atma karanat. If they are cooking just for themselves, they are eating nothing but sin. That is the verdict of Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. The whole idea of Shraddha is to offer bhoga to Krishna with love, with gratitude, with devotion, and then to take that Krishna prasad and offer it to ancestors. So that they get Krishna prasad and they get Muchyante Sarvakil Vishaye. So Govinda Ghosh was thinking, I am dependent on this Shraddha ceremony, I am dependent on this Pindadan. What will happen to me? I don't have a son now. Who will pray for me? Who will deliver me from hell? And all these negative thoughts started coming in Govinda Ghosh's head. This is what happens to us also. When we go through churning, when we go through difficulties and challenges, when we have negative experiences with devotees, or whatever may be the case, empty mind is devil's workshop. We just sit and we engage in negative thoughts, negative thinking, negative thinking, negative thinking, negative thinking. It keeps on building up in our consciousness. And then it completely takes over our actions, because our thoughts dictate our actions. Therefore it is said, watch your thoughts. Dhyayate vishayan pumsam. The first stage is to think about it, to meditate on it, and then comes attachment. Therefore it is said, watch your thoughts, because your thoughts will become action. Sometimes we quote philosophy to justify our weakness. We say, in Kali Yuga it's okay to think negatively, because in Kali Yuga, you know, the good thing is, if we think of something sinful, we don't get the sinful reaction. Yeah, in Satya Yuga, even by thinking negatively, we used to get sinful reaction. But you know, Prabhu, in Kali Yuga it's very good. If you think, by thinking you don't get reaction. So don't worry, Prabhu, you can think ill. But no. Watch your thoughts, because thoughts will become actions, and actions will become habits, and habits will shape your character. Begins with thoughts. Govinda Ghosh went through churning, went through a difficult tragedy, and all these negative thoughts started coming. First was, why did this happen to me? Why did my wife die? Why did my son die? Why should a son die before the father? It is so unnatural. Why Mahaprabhu's mercy is not affecting me? Why am I not the recipient of Mahaprabhu's mercy? I am worshipping Gopinath so nicely. Why is this happening to me? Why bad things happen to good people? Then, who will do my pindadan? Who will do Shraddha ceremony? I don't have a putra to liberate me from hell. I will fall down in hellish conditions after I die. Like this, the negative thoughts keep coming. Why did this happen? What do I do now? I'm going to go to hell. Depression, anxiety, moroseness, dejection. I'm going to go in hell now. What is the use? And the next day after his son's death, Govinda Ghosh did not get up in the morning. Normally he would wake up, he would do Ganga Snan, he would wake up his deity, worship his deity, chant his japa, during Brahma Murta. But the day after his son's death, Govinda Ghosh remained in his bed. Remained in his bed, did not get up. And nobody woke up Govinda Ghosh. The sun had risen. It was midday and Govinda Ghosh was still lying in bed, depressed, morose, overcome by negative thoughts. At that time, Tesham sadata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yenama upayantite Tesham evanu kampartham aham adnyan jamtama nashyami atma bhavasto jnanadipe na bhasvata Tesham evanu kampartham. To them, out of my causeless anukampa, my causeless mercy, my compassion. Tesham evanu kampartham aham adnyan jamtama. The darkness, tama, caused by adnyan, ignorance. Nashyami atma bhavastho. I destroy myself, atma. I myself, nashyami. I destroy that darkness born out of ignorance. Nashyami atma bhavastho. Jnanadipe na bhasvata. How? Jnanadip, with the light of knowledge. I myself destroy the darkness born out of ignorance in the hearts of my devotees. That is Krishna's promise in the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, in Chatur Shloki Bhagavad Gita. Gopinath ji came down from the altar of Govinda Ghosh. And from the deity room, he came walking to the room where Govinda Ghosh was sleeping. And Gopinath ji is now reciprocating with Govinda Ghosh. He is scared of Govinda Ghosh, that Govinda Ghosh is in an angry mood. Govinda Ghosh is in a sorrowful mood. Gopinath ji is scared of his own devotee, Govinda Ghosh. So he comes very carefully, without making any noise, very stealthily, he tiptoes into the bedroom of Govinda Ghosh. And very quietly, he sits at the side of Govinda Ghosh. And then he asks him, gently places his lotus hand on Govinda Ghosh's shoulder, pats him very gently, rubs his hand on his body very gently and asks him, "Oh my dear Govinda Ghosh, what happened? Why are you so sad?" And Govinda Ghosh says to Gopinath, "I don't understand your logic. First you tell me to get married and have children and become a householder. And I do that following your instructions. And then you allow my wife to die. And then you allow my son to die. I don't understand your logic." Gopinath ji, with great love, very gently, he replies to Govinda Ghosh, "My dear Govinda Ghosh, I also don't understand your logic." Govinda Ghosh opens his eyes, turns around and faces Gopinath ji and asks him, "What do you mean?" Gopinath ji replies to Govinda Ghosh, "My dear Govinda Ghosh, even I do not understand your logic." Govinda Ghosh says, "What do you mean?" Gopinath ji explains. He says, "You have two sons. One son has died, and now you want to kill your second son. I don't understand this logic. You have two sons. One son has died, and now you want to kill the second son. What logic is this?" Govinda Ghosh says, "What do you mean? I only have one son." Gopinath ji says, "No, you have two sons. Your one son has died and he has gone back to Krishna. But I am your second son. Every morning you wake me up.
Every morning you bathe me with Ganga Jal. Every morning you dress me up in new clothes. Every morning you do my shringar, you put tilak for me, you put jewelry on me, you offer me flower garland, you offer tulsi leaves at my feet. Every day you feed me 3 times a day. Every day you sing for me. Every day you protect me, you take care of me. And every night you put me in my bed so I can sleep comfortably. You entertain me with your sweet singing. You dance for me, for my pleasure. You take care of me. You protect me. You feed me. You wake me up. You put me to sleep. You bathe me. You dress me up. Everything you are doing that you do for a small child. Everything you are doing for me. You are treating me like a child. Therefore, I also consider you as my father. If you don't feed me, my dear Govinda Ghosh, I will die. I will die because I am starving for your love. Please don't kill me. Now I am dependent on you. Govinda Ghosh's eyes filled up with tears. And then he told Gopinath ji, my dear Gopinath, please tell me what I should do. Gopinath ji said, just get up and cook for me. I'm really hungry. But Govinda Ghosh said, I will do that, my dear Gopinath, but there is something that is pricking my heart. Govinda Ghosh says, what? Gopinath ji said, what? Govinda Ghosh said, who will do Pindadan for me? Who will do Shraddha for me after I die? Gopinath ji held the hand of Govinda Ghosh and told him, my dear father, I am your son. I can do your Shraddha if you like. I will do the Pindadan for you. I will take care of you even after you die. I am your son. Why do you worry? So Govinda Ghosh very innocently asks him, really, you will do? He said, yes, why do you doubt it? Now go and cook for me. And Govinda Ghosh says, okay, you go on your altar, I will bring bhoga for you. Go. And then from that day on, Govinda Ghosh, with great enthusiasm, he resumes his service for Gopinath ji. And for the rest of his life, with great love, he serves Gopinath ji. After many years, Gopinath ji, while looking at the beautiful form, Govinda Ghosh, while looking at the beautiful form of Gopinath ji and chanting his holy names and remembering Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he leaves his body. And then in full view of all the residents of Agradweep, Gopinath ji came out from the altar, stepped down from the altar, removed his clothes and wore white clothes that are worn during the last rites, Antim Samskar. And he took Govinda Ghosh's body and in full view of all the villagers, all the pandits, with his own loving hands, he did the last rites, performed the last rites of Govinda Ghosh. He made a samadhi right to, close to the house where now the temple is of Gopinath ji. And then every year on the disappearance of Govinda Ghosh, now the pujaris assist, only devotees who have the vision can see it, but he wears a ring around his fingers, a ring of kusha grass, he wears white clothes and he offers the pindadan, he does the shraddha of Govinda Ghosh, his father. So this is the glorious life of Govinda Ghosh. We can learn how concerned and scared Govinda Ghosh was of this material world, of getting entangled. Although he was a great devotee, although he had seen Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dance in Rath Yatra in Jagannath Puri, although he was a parshad, he was associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was scared of Maya. He was scared of material illusion, which we read about in our purports today. and how Govinda Ghosh overcame depression, anxiety, and negative thoughts by taking shelter of Gopinathji. So many valuable lessons to learn. From Govinda Ghosh's standpoint, they appeared like the greatest tragedies. To have to leave the association of Mahaprabhu, to lose one's wife, to lose one's son, what tragedies. But actually all these three tragedies were pushing Govinda Ghosh closer and closer to Gopinath service. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by asking Govinda Ghosh to leave his association, become a grahastha, become a householder and have children, by giving him that instruction, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was permanently inscribing the holy name of his devotee Govinda Ghosh in the Vaishnava literature for all time to come. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chose Govinda Ghosh to be the recipient of the special mercy of Gopinath, that Gopinath will do the Shraddha of his own devotee in the mood of a son, because the devotee is in the mood of a father. This beautiful leela, this beautiful special pastime, which is unique in the Vaishnava literature, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made Govinda Ghosh the subject of this beautiful leela. This great fortune was bestowed upon Govinda Ghosh in the guise of, in the garb of three great tragedies. So from our vision, things may look like tragedies and difficulties, but from Krishna's vision, it is something completely different. Krishna, through those difficulties, is making us more and more serious in our Krishna consciousness, and by becoming more and more serious in our Krishna consciousness, we are getting closer and closer to Gopinath. I thank you all very much. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanandi, Hari Hari Bol. Unfortunately, I am working today, so we will not